From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armilla, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words.
Catherine, for once, I think you're right. Let's do it.
You didn't say anything about how good-looking I am today, Ross, so I'm a little hurt.
Well, it's hard to. When I don't, I'm not a good liar. I just can't help it.
I think that'll just bring us into our show today. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Kathy Petras in Armilla, Ross Petras in Toronto. How are the two of you today besides squabbling with each other?
Oh, we love to squabble with each other.
Verve and humor. And grammatically correctly.
That's
as well.
Right. Most importantly. Well, today we are talking about something actually that has come up a number of times over the past couple of episodes, which I don't know if that was intentional or if it was just stuck in your mind because of that. But we're going to talk about back formations, sort of like when words are invented after another word that's in that word has already been used. So a word that we thought of a few weeks ago, I think, was habilitate and rehabilitate. Like the word is rehabilitate, but people started using habilitate as sort of a back formation.
That's right. Todd, I think, emailed us on that yes. question, and that got us to really thinking a lot about it.
Quickly, though, before we get started, welcome to listeners from a couple of different stations who are now carrying You're Saying It Wrong. Welcome to our listeners on WWNO in New Orleans, and also to our listeners on KWMR West Marin Community Radio. We're excited to have you here. And Kathy, Ross, do you have any words of wisdom for our new listeners?
I have a question
uh-huh.
for you folks in New Orleans. Are we supposed to say Norlins, Norlins, like they say in T-shirts?
How?
Don't kill me.
Yeah. I was just about to ask that,
yeah.
But I think they probably prefer us saying as we do say it, like New Orleans. I don't know.
Or New Orleans.
No.
Now I'm going to get really bad. Marin, yeah. I know. Yeah. Okay, I'm comfortable there.
Marin, I do too. But Fletcher, first we have a cartoon and Kathy's husband question. That's enigmatic. If you've ever heard it again.
It's very compelling. Okay. My husband is a Pearls Before Swine fan, and
oh, sure.
I don't know if this was one that was just out a while ago or if he saw it for some reason. But anyway, he asked if we had covered this, and we had not. It is, you've got Goat is reading a newspaper, and he says, you ever notice how more and more of the crime being committed downtown is happening in broad daylight? And Rat says, you ever notice how we only put the word broad before daylight when you're thinking about it, when we're talking about a crime? Goat says, I hate it when your odd thoughts make me think. And then Rat says, also, since when is daylight broad? So Randy asked me, have you guys ever talked about broad daylight? Because why is it? And I said, I don't know. I'm going to ask Ross if he knows. So I asked Ross, and he did not know off the top of his head either.
Well, Ross may have faked it and said he didn't know, and then quickly looked at the
Yes, he may have.
And Ross very confidently told Kathy that broad actually, to some, in early sense, it meant wide open or fully expanded. And in that sense, it came into daylight as broad daylight. This is from the 1300s, as early as the 1300s. And then Ross also added an interesting French. In French, you would say, you obviously wouldn't say broad daylight. You say grand jour, which means big day.
I like grand jour. I think that sounds...
I do too.
It has real vip. It sounds zesty, doesn't it?
And it does literally mean the same thing. Broad daylight, open daylight, something wide. And Kathy is going to quickly tell us what the proto-Germanic word for broad daylight, where does it
come
from?
I didn't want to tell Randy this because he's German in background. I didn't want to be embarrassed by the fact that he didn't think of it. But broad, as in something wide, came from the proto-Germanic breidas, meaning broad. But no one knows for sure where that came from.
But it is an interesting, we were talking earlier about fossilized words, and broad obviously isn't fossilized. But it is interesting, in this usage, we would only use broad meaning wide open and fully expanded in that sense with daylight. I don't think, actually that's not really true. You use broad for a lot of things. Open
a broad
expanded.
Smile is a wide
Yeah, broad
smile.
Smile. It is. It's not a fossilized usage at all. But broad daylight does seem, it just seems different.
Well, it's sort of, I think broad daylight to me is like a fossil phrase then. It's like, yeah. You only say daylight, you don't think of as being broad, wide open. You don't. I'm sorry. So it is slightly fossilized.
And you could also argue like broad darkness, you know, like a deep darkness, like at night. You would never say fully expanded darkness. Boy, that's a broad, dark day.
I've never heard anybody say a broad, dark day either. But when we're talking about, you know, fully exposed, full light, we don't talk about another kind of daylight. We talk about broad daylight, right? We don't use another word there when we're talking about out in the open for everyone to see.
We say
broad daylight. That's it.
The thing that got me, though, is I'm wondering, like, why do you use broad, or used to, as slang for woman? I mean, you think if there was frail, was like Raymond Chandler, you'd say, oh, that frail. Dame, but broad.
That's actually interesting, and I did look it up, because there's something, some people say it might be suggestive of broad hips. But the interesting one, the problem with these etymologies, the folk backgrounds to them, we have really no idea. Because someone else traced it to American English, which is really interesting, a broad wife, which was a word for a woman, often a slave, away from her husband. Which I thought was an interesting association. But we have no idea, really.
But then they have, I'm sorry, I'm just looking. It also could have been a slang term for a ticket, like a train
that
ticket, a meal
really
ticket.
Got it.
That's amazing. 1914, broad was also used to refer to a prostitute, a pimp's meal ticket. I don't know. I don't buy any of this.
Yeah, but you know why tickets were called broads, though? This was apparently, they thought that the playing cards were called broads for some reason. And the tickets in those days looked like playing cards. Therefore, they were called broads.
Hmm.
And this was from the 1914 work, A Vocabulary of Criminal Slang.
Criminal slang, yeah.
I'd love to have that book, actually.
I love it. I'm
sorry. I have to say this, though, that they talked, I'm looking at this right now, and they're talking about guys and dolls, and they talk about broads, and it wasn't at all negative. But this dame ended up being bad, was very negative. And I love this. Frank Sinatra, if we've got to go for etymology to the Rat Pack, as Frank Sinatra said, calling a girl a broad is far less coarse than calling her a dame.
Wow.
That's weird. You know, on that line, as a kid, like when in English nobility or something, someone is called a dame. And I remember as a kid, that kind of got me. Dame so and so, you
yeah.
know,
because you were so
it did
used
have
to,
a negative con.
Yeah, you were yeah. so used to hearing the gangsters call women dames and
dames.
Yeah, this is my mall. This dame over here.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
So first of all, what is a back formation? Ross, do you want to do this? Because this is one of our favorite back formations. It's sort of a fake back formation, but it's our favorite.
Okay, this will tell us basically what a back formation is. Fletcher actually opened it with exactly what a back formation is technically. And we're going to do an example of one of the most famous. This comes from a P.G. Woodhouse quote. He spoke with a certain what is it in his voice. And I could see that, if not actually disgruntled, he was far from being gruntled.
I love him.
Yeah, so I guess the back-formed word there is gruntled, because we have the word disgruntled, but gruntled doesn't actually really mean anything.
Right. You're taking part of a word, taking off like a suffix or a prefix, you're taking it off and making a new word out of it. In this case, you take off dis and you get gruntled. And is gruntled a real word, or is it just a... I mean, it now is, I guess, a real word, but was it originally
kinda.
A word?
Yeah.
But it is still back form.
Yeah, it feels, it's sort of like, since you're taking part of the word off, it feels like you're going back to more of a root of the word, even though that root of the word didn't actually exist.
Right.
Exactly. And that's what, it's interesting, because I think a lot of people assume the opposite. Usually you have a word and you add a prefix or a suffix and that makes the new word, but the root was the original word.
Right.
In the case of a back formation, the root is not the original word. I mean, vaccination and vaccinate. You'd think that vaccination came from vaccinate, but vaccinate actually came from vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. No, I had no idea
about
that.
We have many more coming for you that are even more complex. So shall we, Ross, do you want to give Fletcher the first one?
Okay, Fletcher, the key thing here, we're going to ask you, which of these words is a back formation? Okay, we're going to give you a set of three words.
Okay.
Which of these shorter words is not original?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay.
Okay. So we're going to start with number one, sap from sappy, flab, flabby, or hap, happy.
Sure. Okay. So like a person can be a sap and that would come from sappy. You can have flab around your belly and that's coming from something that is flabby. Hap, I don't even know what hap is. Is that a word? What's a hap?
Sure. Hap is a word, definitely.
What do you do? I mean, like... What?
It's old. It means like luck or fortune.
Oh, okay.
I knew a guy named Hap.
Yeah.
And then it could also mean in a verb. I think in a verb, it can mean like to happen by chance.
Hmm.
They're both old usages.
Yeah.
But the key thing here, Fletcher, is not to discourse on the meaning of hap or not.
Right.
But to tell us which of these words is a back formation. In other words, which of these three, sap, flab, or hap, which of these words is not original?
I think it's flab.
Well, Fletcher, you're unfortunately, for our purpose, correct.
All right.
I didn't get, and I'm very upset because I didn't get this. I thought hap would have been it, personally.
I eliminated hap just because I didn't know what we were supposed to be talking about with that one. Which probably a poor decision on my part, but that was easy to take out. And so I had a 50-50 there, and it felt like sap is like a thing that people have been talking about for a long time. I mean, whether it's sap coming out of a tree or, you know, the slang for a person. So yeah, there was something there about flab and something being flabby. It just felt like, yeah, you would have backformed that one.
See, now that's interesting because I don't know that I would have said that because the flabby came, was regarded as, this fascinated me, flabby came from flappy.
That one got me.
Yeah, flappy doesn't sound like flabby, which was meant softly fleshy.
I kind of like flabby coming from flappy, though, because it having that B sound there, that rounder B sound rather than the P sound, does feel a little more fleshy.
It does. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
It's good. I like that word, flabby.
Okay, the next trio. Now, which of these three... As we're doing in the other one, the first word is what might be the back formation.
Okay.
So we have burgle and burglar, bungle from bungler, or mine from miner.
So I like two of these three. One because I always thought it was a back formation, and another one because it's really tempting me right now. So I'm going to throw out what will probably end up being the correct answer, but I'm throwing out bungle and bungler. I think that's not right. I really like mine and minor. If something feels right there. But the one I always thought was a back formation anyway was burgle and burglar. So I'm going to go with burgle and burglar.
And Fletcher, you went correctly.
Yeah.
Gold medal for Fletcher so
Another
far.
Gold medal. Burgle, according to the OED, is a humorous or erroneous back formation from burglar. Although, now I'm going to be really quibbly here and... Kathy's going to hit me, but she can't because she's overseas. But in OE, there's an old 1354 OED mentioning it in English law, a Latin verb. They had bugulare from the Latin,
that's
burglare
stupid.
Meaning the same thing. But let's forget that. Everyone says, including the OED, that it's a back formation. And they went back to 1872. The burglar who attempted to enter that room would never burgle again. And this was apparently a little humorous piece.
I don't understand why it's humorous or erroneous. Maybe it's me, but I'm not exactly rolling in the old aisles here.
Do you remember that one we had, Kathy, with the OED where they had some humorous thing and we both stared at it for like a half an hour? Do you remember it? It was he said something jocularly and we looked like, well, why is that jocular? We couldn't get it.
But, you know what? The jocularity.
I'm going to defend that a little bit, though. I think it is a little bit humorous because we know it's a back formation. Like, we know the word burglar, and then we say, oh, I've been burgled. Ho, 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 ho. Right? You know,
because
you know it comes from burglar, but you also know it's not really, I mean, it is a word now, but you also know it's not really a word in that sense because burglar was the word. So, I don't know. I always thought it was a little bit funny. I mean, not like, as you said, Kathy, rolling on the floor, funny, but
it deserves a chuckle.
Oh, at least a
polite
at least a,
chuckle.
At least a ha ha. You know, yeah.
I like the earlier word. Apparently, it was shortened from burglator. Which Burglator. Really
yeah. Yeah, I like that one
oh,
too.
Oh, that's fabulous. Yeah. Burglator. That sounds so like fakely modern too, and it's from the 13th century. But doesn't yeah. a burglator? It sounds like a 40s pneumatic car.
Yeah, it does.
It does actually. Yeah, that's really good. Oh, actually, I just wanted to add one more thing. It apparently came from the whole thing, which I thought was interesting, comes from Latin burgus, fortress or castle.
Hmm.
Which I thought was sort of interesting because it does give you that feeling of someone breaking into the castle and stealing the jewels.
Right.
But anyway, we're going to go into the next one, which is, this is interesting. It's gamble from gambler, swindle from swindler, drive from driver.
Mm-hmm. This one's tough. Gamble from gambler, swindle from swindler, or drive from driver. The simplest one on there is drive and driver, but I'm going to throw that one out. So is it between gamble or swindle? I'm going to go with swindle and swindler. Swindle is the back-formed word, and it came from swindler.
And you're right.
I am right.
It came from swindler, which meant cheater, and it was back-formed to mean to cheat, the verb to cheat or defraud.
Yeah. You know why I chose that is because it's the one that feels kind of the slangiest of those three, gamble, swindle, and drive. Swindle just feels like a slangier kind of word and one that would have been formed in, I mean, sort of like burgle in kind of a humorous way.
But before we go on, Fletcher, this was a slightly tricky question.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And you did a good job. There's another word that's also... And the other one was, you correctly
was
gamble?
Said it.
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
They think that gamble came from gambler, from an old English word, gammon, to play. But they do think that it came from it was a back formation.
I just want to interject. I thought it was fascinating. Swindle, swindler, which was the original word, came from German, schwindler, I guess, which meant a giddy person. It came from to be giddy. Or to even possibly to be dizzy.
Oh.
Which is weird because, like, you know, I think swindler as in cheating coming from initially like a giddy person to mm-hmm. act extravagantly just doesn't seem like your normal progression, you
well,
know?
Well, here we go again with the OED. They have the traveling agent's jocular swindle sheet. Expense account is from 1923. So I guess traveling agent would kind of go, here's my swindle sheet. I'll put down £2.06 for the dinner or whatever. So
you can kind of imagine, though, like a con artist acting, you know, all large and giddy and just trying to fool you with, I don't know, acting like a peacock. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's reasonable. I agree with you, Fletcher. That does make some sense to me.
I don't get the dizzy part, though.
You're giddy. You're happy. You're making a lot of money cheating someone.
Okay, yeah, I like it. That actually kind of warms me over.
Or maybe they make you dizzy.
Ah, because they're swindling
Ooh,
you.
Yeah.
That's possible, too.
Oh, but they're not swindling you yet, because it's not a word yet.
That's true.
They're going to swindle you later. Right now, they're just cheating.
Okay, does injure come from injury? Does injure come from injury? Perjure from perjury, conjure from conjury.
I've never heard the word conjury. That's interesting. And so going by my previous logic, I'm going to toss that one out because I don't know anything about it. So it's injure from injury or is perjure from perjury? I always kind of felt, even though I had no reason to think this exactly, that perjure was a back-formed word and it came from perjury. It always seemed weird to me for somebody to say they perjured themselves. It just felt like we were making up that word because we had the word perjury.
It's a really good analysis. Unfortunately, you're down in silver medal territory.
It is also a bad analysis.
No, it's actually injure from injury.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was really, I thought injure is obviously the first one. But again, we're going back to Kathy's statement previously when you come, why didn't they? I don't know.
Although I'm wondering, it's because injury was a verb that meant to injure.
Oh, really?
So yeah. Maybe it's that. I mean, you instead of saying injury, you'd say he injured himself. That's not him. But
no.
I don't know. I wasn't around in the late 15th century, in spite of my appearance today. Next, we have, this is a very weird one. Okay, these are verbs that came from other verbish things. We have, did mix come from mixed, fix from fixed, and relax from relaxed. Ross, I think you might have put this list together, and I love this because they all have X's. So I'm like, very proud of you. I like it.
I like that list, too. I like that one particularly.
Mix from mixed, fix from fixed, or relax from relaxed. I think it's, well, you said it was weird, but let's take that out of here because you've, you know, you've led me astray before, especially recently, Kathy. I'm going to go with my gut on this one. Relax and relaxed is the answer.
Well, oh, Fletcher, I don't think you can relax. I think you're wrong.
I think you need to mix up your thoughts here.
Yes. This one really fascinated me. Apparently, it's a back formation from Middle English, mixte, mingled, blended, from the Anglo-French, mixed. Latin mixtus, past participle of miscere.
Wow.
That was really weird. It was a really, and this is the weirdest thing for me. Mix was a very rare verb before the Elizabethan times. And they're saying one reason why it could have been so rare was, I'm going to ask you this right now. Do you know the word mixen in Middle English, Fletcher? I'm sure you do, but.
Yeah, sure, of course. Who doesn't?
Sure. As Fletcher would tell you, but he's just too modest. In Middle English, mixen meant dunghill or filth.
Oh, wow.
Well, mix meant dung, so.
Yeah. So basically, if you told, you know, like your, you know, you told your friend, like, let's have a little mixture of food, you're going to get.
Well, this gives me a new concept because I'm looking at it now and they're saying it came from the PIE root meg, M-E-I-G-H, which meant to urinate. So now I'm thinking the concept of a mixed drink
yes,
is a little less tasteful in my mind.
I mean, your basic average Middle English person would go to the blender and, you know, put in a couple of foods and then, yeah. Okay, this is Kathy's favorite.
I was very, very fascinated.
Okay, we have gel from jelly.
Right, that's J-E-L-L.
Right. Congeal from congealed, or gel, G-E-L, from gelatin.
Right. Okay, I'll take you through my thought process here. I always thought it was weird when people would spell gel, J-E-L-L, as if it was from jelly, because I always...
Fletcher, you are my brother, more than Ross, but go on.
Okay. Well, so that one seems fishy to me there. Gel and gelatin, I don't know where the word gelatin comes from, but... Gel definitely seems like it would have been back formed from gelatin. It seems like gelatin is that stuff, right? The stuff made out of the bones of those, however you make gelatin. It's real weird. So it always felt like gel, G-E-L, would have been a back formed word from that. But the way things have been going for me the last couple words, I'm going to go with congeal and congealed, in fact, on this one.
Bronze medal now, Fletcher.
Wait, I'm getting knocked down further.
Yeah.
So is it gel and jelly, J-E-L-L?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't mean to lead you astray, honestly, because I always thought the word J-E-L-L was wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I always thought so, too.
I thought it should be G-E-L. Mm-hmm. And I still have a real problem with it. And I actually don't think I'd like many people who used it regularly because it just really bothers me. It doesn't look right. It should be G-E-L. But J-E-L-L came about in the 1860s. And they think it was a back formation of jelly because it meant to assume the consistency of jelly. So it's like, oh, okay. You know.
But the one fun thing about English, though, is all of these words basically have common origin. They all go back to G-E-L-E-R, to congeal or to freeze,
did
galare in Latin.
Did gel, G-E-L, did that already exist when people started using J-E-L-L?
No.
Oh.
No, because that actually, it was like sort of like just a truncation of gelatin, and that was initially a chemical term.
Okay, wow.
And it was in 1899. The first example, this is OED right now we're using, of published J-E-L-L was 1869, the first published example of gel as meaning a semi-solid substance was 1899, and they say it may have been influenced by J-E-L-L.
Which is so weird.
That is exactly the opposite of what I would have expected. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. Me too. And they say usually you mean use gel, J-E-L-L, meaning to come together. We're starting to gel. Whereas gel, G-E-L, is a noun. I'm putting hair gel in to make my hair look better or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. I got problems with J-E-L-L. I really do. I wouldn't, but I do. I would just like to also say, I'm sorry, I just love this name. I'm just looking at it. The original gelatin began in Leroy, New York, and the guy who trademarked the name Jell-O was named, this is just a great name, Pearl, P-E-A-R-L-E, Bixby Waite.
I know, I love that
Pearl
name.
Isn't that great? That is fantastic.
Okay, Fletcher, we have, again, we have three concepts or back formations. Sculpt from sculptor, upholster from upholsterer, or architect from architecture.
Okay, sculpt from sculptor. So does the word sculpt actually come from sculptor? Does upholster come from upholsterer, or does architect come from architecture? I would probably have just said architect from architecture. That one seems right. But the funniest one on here is upholster and upholsterer. So I'm going to go with that one.
Fletcher, you are not only, you are a better sibling than Kathy. You are my brother too. I just love this. What an upholsterer is a tradesman who finishes, a tradesperson who finishes or repairs articles of furniture. But the origin is fascinating. Basically, the word comes from upholder, a dealer in small goods, from upholden, to repair, uphold, or to keep from falling or sinking. Isn't that weird?
Wow.
Well, it makes sense because you sink into the cushions if you have a good upholstery job.
So I guess so.
Trust me, I had a broken couch recently.
But apparently also sculpt may indeed also have come, maybe back formation as well.
Oh, wow.
From sculpture. But then there was a word sculpt, which I also...
That's what I was just looking at.
Yeah. What does sculpt mean, Kathy?
It was, it came from sculpt, I thought, meant a sculpture, doesn't it? Or does it not?
No, it's to sculpture. It's a verb. To sculpt is, you can say sculpt.
I sculpt?
Oh, you do? No, I did. You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petrus records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petrus from his home in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. Torrin Anderson composed our theme music, and our digital team is Beth Golay, Kate Hutchins, and Carly Cooper. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetrus@gmail.com. You can also email us a voice memo of you asking it your question. You might get your voice heard on air. If you'd like to do the same thing by downloading the KMUW app, you can do that and just click the Talk to Us button. You can find all of Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
New from The Embedded Podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.